Gorgeous George and Goes, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on!
From the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, this is MMA Junkie Radio.
We rollin'!
What's going on, Junkie Nation? Gorgeous George and Goes reporting for duty on a Thursday. It's January 27th. Gonna have a fun show today. You know, Goes, there's no UFC this week. I'm already missing them. I missed them for a month, then they came back. Kind of missing them this Saturday. But I'm over it, you know. Football is still in our lives, so I'll be all right. But Eagle FC, Goes, I'm kind of pumped up about that. I know it's not the greatest card ever compared to like a UFC pay-per-view, but it's a fun card with some names that we've been fortunate enough to catch up with. And it sounds like it's a promotion that is going to slowly entrench themselves in our lives as long as they are profitable. So I'm kind of pumped up for Eagle FC 44. And of course, we also have Bellator. That heavyweight division has been not paid attention to for a long time. We have a title fight on Friday, so buckle up, man. We got some stuff to talk about Thursday, January 27th. Goes, as I was sitting there doing the intro, pretend you're a Jack Russell Terrier, and those were three treats in my hands. Football, Eagle FC, UFC... Bellator or four, I guess. Which one? What do you want, boy? Which treat do you want? Bill Wagon the most on?
People are probably going to get pissed, but NFL. I mean, come on. Look at the weekend that they had. Dude, like, how do you argue that? You would be happy to have one to two games and the way they did, but all four of them with that madness? Come on, man. That's a dream scenario. How does that not get you fired up for this weekend to see all these underdogs, all these away teams? Like, literally anything can happen. That's what's so great about this.
We talk plenty of MMA, so let's spend a couple minutes on football. What do you think of that overtime rule? You know, the coin flip basically, I wouldn't say decided it, because it's not like Buffalo, you know, they didn't say Kansas City will receive Buffalo and their eight defensive players will try to defend the 11 that KC brings. No, they had a proper defense out there. During the game, it was high scoring, but some defense was played early on. So, you know, it's not automatic is what I'm trying to say. However, it still just seems like, let them battle. Like, you know, it almost seems like baseball. When they go into extra innings and the away team, if they were to score and you just go, well, that was it. Like the home team doesn't come up and get their three outs.
Yeah, I feel like whatever the first team does, the second team should be allowed to match it. So, and especially in that type of game, you know, like you could tell it just came down to whoever who had the ball last in their hands.
And so to be clear, if Casey gets the ball and only scores a field goal, Buffalo has to at least match the field goal. But what if Buffalo scores the TD? Is the game over?
The game's over.
Yeah. Which would be kind of regular season rules.
Sort of, yeah. If they come down and score a touchdown, the other team has to score a touchdown to match. If not, then it's done. I think that's the fairest way to do it.
Yeah, and I wonder if KC would then, on some questionable fourth downs, just go for it, knowing that now it's the playoffs and you go home. You don't have a clock. It's only a 10-minute clock in regular season where you can possibly, if you've chipped away at it, you know, you might go home with a tie. You know, it would be kind of interesting. It would add some wrinkles to it. The one thing the NFL is good at is tweaking things. A lot of it has to do with like instant replay and little rules or whatever, but they tend to sit there responsibly and look at things that are working and aren't working. And most of the times they address it. And so we'll see. But I was so gutted for Chris Perrone, huge Bills fan. Like, who doesn't think they got it wrapped up with 13 seconds left? Who doesn't light a cigar at that point or pop champagne? You know what I mean?
Exactly. I mean, that's How about Josh Allen? Like, what? I'm dying to know what that locker room was like. How, if anybody could even look him in the eye in that locker room. I mean, come on, man. What more do you want from a guy? That guy bawled and bawled and bawled. And you couldn't help him out even a little bit.
Yeah. And I'm not saying, like, it's possible Buffalo gets the ball and gets stopped. And then at least now we know, you know, whatever's whatever that result is, we got to respect it. But I just think with 13 seconds left, you've wrapped it up, man. I couldn't believe that they didn't actually wrap it up. And now I've refreshed myself on some things and learned some things. You know, you got to rush with three and defend with eight because that guy's getting rid of it so quick. Your four probably aren't going to get to him anyway, but that extra body right in those seams, you know, where these guys kind of catch like a little 10-yard pass and then they just go through these little pockets. Credit to the offensive coordinators for finding these pockets. I was really coming down hard on DBs over the weekend. Just what do you guys think? And seriously, like the stuff I was seeing being, including the Niners. I don't know, before the half, we gave up a pass where a quarterback releases to a safety and the safety is just like, oh, I thought you had him, you know, like one of those deals. Oh, man. That's just brutal. Mm-hmm. Go Niners. This is their third time against the Rams this season. And I kind of used this reference when we were talking about Figueredo and Marino. Oh, man, four times in a row. Well, they kind of do it in baseball. They kind of do it in hockey and basketball. And in football, they're going to do it three times in 2 months, I think. Yeah, they played the Rams like in October, November, and then again in December. And January, the last weekend of the year. Now, a few weeks later, they got a running back. So it'll be three times pretty quickly. And no one's going, oh, man. Like, those are just the teams that deserve to be there. So I'm pumped for Sunday. Who do you think wins?
Actually, I think the 49ers have good chance. There's something about momentum that is just insane, you know, when you carry it like that, and they seem to have it. So I think they actually have a really good chance. But have you figured out what your game time meal is going to be?
No, I haven't thought about it. I haven't given it much thought. Mm. Who do you like out of the AFC?
KC.
All right. That's fair. I'll take a rematch of 3 years ago. All right. MMA. What do you want, boy? Bellator, Eagle FC, or UFC? What makes your tail wag at this point? I'm trying to judge your interest.
I'm pretty intrigued by this Eagle FC card.
All right.
Well, but things that are going on in the UFC are pretty funny too. So,
you want UFC or Eagle FC?
UFC.
UFC. All right. Oliveira and Gaethje look good. Like locked in for May 7th, I believe. Except quick update. Some of you might know. Some of you might not know. They're not going to be fighting in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. They're not even fighting in Brazil to begin with. They're fighting at To Be Determined. And we imagine it'll be in the United States or possibly Abu Dhabi, but more than likely the United States. And again, I think this is a COVID thing. So bravo to the UFC for at least attempting it. I mean, they must have done some due diligence that told them, green light, start talking about it. And then this thing just changes all the time, you know, where if numbers go in a certain direction, the rules just kind of change. So at least we know that the UFC is interested in getting these shows back on the road in certain places. I know they're going to Columbus. I know they're going to London, but just know that I guess it can turn on a dime.
I guess what nixed this was travel into Brazil. You have to be fully vaccinated, and that just ain't gonna fly with this roster and all these pirates out there. So I think that's what ultimately nixed this card.
Mm-hmm. All right. Goes, did you know that a pie goes for $20 in Jamaica and a pie goes for $10 in the Bahamas? Now, don't ask me why there's a difference, but I just wanted to give you the pie rates of the Caribbean.
Nice.
All right. Yeah. What else? So Rio de Janeiro's been moved. Oliveira versus Gaethje looks good. Dana White did a Q&A where he mentioned Ferguson and Chandler looks likely. And I think when he says that, you can kind of bank on it. The only problem is we don't know where to slot it. He also said he's all booked through the May show. And that kind of bums me out because I still think that the UFC in Vegas, so that would be UFC 272 with Colby Covington and Jorge Masvidal, I thought it could still use some oomph. And all this talk about Poirier versus Diaz, we'll do it really quick. I thought that's what they meant was they're going to get these two guys at welterweight and they would co-main event that card. That would be a nice addition to a card that lacks oomph.
Yeah. Yeah, I could agree with that.
You think I'll use oomph at all in 2022 or were those my two right there?
I think you might use it this weekend.
Maybe, man. Maybe. So, aside from that, he addressed the idiots that thought he was disrespecting Francis Ngannou by not putting the belt around him, you know, after UFC 270. He explained that he was tending to something that had happened backstage, I think he said. And this was done with Laura Sanko. Laura had not asked him that question, by the way, but you could tell he wanted to speak about it. And I guess I'm one of those idiots. A lot of people on Twitter were giving him a hard time about, why didn't you do that? You know, I was one of them. To be
fair, you might be King Idiot, right?
Perhaps. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I only got my measly 17,000 followers that never go up, so I lose them as much as I get them. And I guess I could be. But I don't know. I don't know if it was on Spinning Backlick, Triple G Show, or maybe Junkie Radio. I did say, hey, look, family emergency aside, or anything else that could be regarded as an emergency, or God forbid a fighter is going into some convulsions, you know, something like that, you know, I get. But don't you kind of have a team for that too, right? And
right.
So then here's where, again, he could have just left it alone by remember I always say apologize and keep it simple, or keep it simple if you don't have to apologize or whatever, but keep it simple. He says, I was backstage tending to some stuff, and then he references UFC 199. You were there when Bisping beat Rockhold. He goes, that's the only other time I didn't. But then he says, I ran out to do it. So he did it. That's when he was dealing with Ariel Helwani. For the guy had the nerve to do his job, goes, and he broke news that Brock Lesnar was returning at UFC 200. So they decided to strip away his credentials and kick him out. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know what Ariel was thinking. Now, you know what? I have to say this, because what I've noticed is the UFC has a lot of loyal fans, and if you come at the UFC, they push back. All right, so a lot of you are going to come back and give me your version of, well, Ariel had asked the UFC. The UFC said they would get back to him to confirm. Ariel said he had solid sources, and that's why he went with it. And I haven't spoken to Ariel in years. I can't really say, like, oh, that's my dog or nothing like that. But I think what's right is right. He usually stands up. And in this case goes, I know that in the history of Tag Radio, Junkie Radio, us either being involved in some sort of a breaking news or just observing the team doing it. When you go to the UFC, when it's like a hot item like that, a hot ticket like that, rarely do they go, you know, we were just about to call you or anything like that. They want to break it. And so what happens is that's kind of like a way of saying, you know what? Let me confer with the matchmakers or Dana and we'll get back to you. And that buys them the 10 minutes to get it out on their social media. And then by then it's irrelevant. And I think Ariel's explained that that's usually what happens, you know, when he's ever tried to go the route of having the UFC confirm that, you know, other than if the UFC hands it to you, they hand you stories. They've done it to Junkie. They've done it to Fighting. They've done it to ESPN. Whoever, you know, they've done it in the past. Combate, they get some. Everybody's benefited from that. But for the most part, they want to be the ones to break it. Even fighters themselves kind of wait for that UFC Twitter handle or Instagram handle. So that's why I'm being snarky and sarcastic. That's kind of what happened at UFC 199. Then he referenced a UFC in Abu Dhabi. I don't remember the number, 112, maybe something like that. And that's when Maya fought Silva, and Dana White was so pissed at the way Anderson Silva fought in front of their new partners, Flash Entertainment, that he did not put the belt. I think he stormed out, didn't put the belt. I don't remember. But he dealt with it afterwards. I think he was at that post-conference. He had a meeting with Anderson Silva and Ed Soares, his manager, and he told him, if you ever do something like that again, I'll cut you or I'll do something. It wasn't a good combo. You remember all that?
Yeah, yeah. I remember what people know, and I remember what people don't know. That was a crazy night.
Well, it's been over 10 years. Can you tell us what people don't know? I mean, who would get in trouble now?
The people in that room were the ones that kind of told us what.
Well, then refresh my memory after the show, because I'm dying to hear it. My tail's wagging now.
Okay.
After the show, you can come up to me and go, and I'll probably go up there with a wagon tail. I want to hear this.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So, lastly, he says, hey man, I shook his hand. I said hello, and I was at the stare downs. I did everything. Well, no, you didn't do everything because you didn't put the belt around him. But come on, okay, again, leave that part out and just say you had something in the back. And if your alibi is covered, like if we don't see you in the back getting a lap dance. Or, there's no video that comes up of you having, bonging a beer, getting a laugh, goofing off is what I'm trying to say. Then for the most part, your alibi is covered and that's that. And we all just move on. I'll be an idiot. But he says that other stuff. And like I said, goes, when he's standing there on stage and Francis Ngannou comes out, to say hello and shake your hand and do a stare down takes 8 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
That in no way leads us to believe, oh man, these guys are best friends. These guys are back. They're getting along. Now, I found out they had a dinner about a month ago, and supposedly that kind of went well. That was cool to hear. But let's not forget, Francis Ngannou revealed that they were going to sue him. They sent him a message that they were going to sue him right before a fight. No, you usually don't fuck with these fighters right before a fight. That's one thing. Two, let's go back about a year, 10 months to be exact. Francis Ngannou defeats Stipe Miocic. He goes to Africa to celebrate with his people, take a vacation. And then in June, I believe, they go, hey, man, we need you to fight at the UFC in Houston in August. He goes, how about September? They go, how about no, interim. They announced an interim fight in June. The fight was fought in August, goes. But June's 3 months after March. That's kind of a little bit of the disrespect, but for sure, there's an inkling there of, I don't think these two parties are getting along. Right. Yes or no?
Right. No, I agree.
So now I'd have to say, are you sure you're not the idiot? Do you not remember all that? Are you not the idiot for trying to feed us that? If you would have just fed us, hey, man, something happened backstage, we'd all go, well, what was it? Oh, it's personal. I can't say. Oh, shit. All right. Well, I hope everything's all right.
We would all think, hey, that's probably not what went on, but we don't have enough to go on. Correct. Right? So we would just let it go.
We'd let it go. And that'd be that. Until, again, a video surfaces where he's backstage and he's not tending to something where he could be, where he's supposed to be on fight night, where he wants to be more than any other place. He was excited. He kept talking about this. Arguably was one of the greatest heavyweight fights he's ever promoted. He said that. So why would he not want to be there? Something must have been super important. I guess. I don't know. Maybe some video will resurface. Maybe someone will out him or whatever. But as long as they don't, I really am one of those that just, I may roll my eyes, give a Frank Mir face. But publicly, I'm done. I'll just do that as I read it. I may say it to you. If I see you, I go, look at this guy. But that's it. Publicly, I'm done. Because I'm not really too much into that. Mm-hmm. But again, man, this guy goes, he needs a consigliere. Like Tony Soprano had Sil. Sil would lean into his ear and go, we got those Omerta rules or in the past we've done that. Just to kind of remind hothead Tony of the possible consequences of what he was about to say or do. This guy needs a consigliere.
Not all the time, but for the most part, when people are being bad, I kind of just get a kick out of it and I laugh. What I don't like is when people are bad at being bad. And this is being bad at being bad. I can't stand that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's just what this one boils down to. But there you go, folks. That's what he said, was he was tending to something in the back, and that's why he wasn't there. Is it the biggest deal in the world? No, it really isn't. You know, Mick Maynard is a respected man in MMA. I bet you if we were to update our 25 most powerful people in MMA, him and Sean would probably be up there the same way Sean and Joe Silva were. They control divisions, and they pretty much make all the decisions up until main events. That's usually decided by Dana White or them as a team. I have no problem with Mick Maynard putting it around him. But I'm also one for a little bit of the traditions, the historical significance, you know, of certain fights, moments, if you will. And a pay-per-view with two title fights, I really want to see the president cage side. I don't even like it when he looks like he's looking at his phone or whatever, but I imagine he's putting out so many fires that what are you going to do, you know? But I've often seen him on his phone, I guess, while he's sitting there cage side. But I really, really do not hold against him. Sometimes I see him looking at the monitor versus the actual fight itself. But then again, you and I have called fights close enough where the monitor does tell us more about what's happening versus just looking into the cage because of an angle, the referee, you know, usually has to do with when the fight hits the ground, you know, like if the camera's on the other side and you want to see if someone's arm is being torqued a little bit more than this, than our eyes are, eye views offering.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's kind of, I guess, the big things happening in the UFC. You got the next UFC already coming up, February 12th. I wish I could tell you. I'm pretty confident in telling you we're going forward with another watch-along, right? I got good feedback on the last one?
I'm actually going to have a meeting here in a little bit about that. So I would
hope it's on. I really hope it's on for another watch-along. And hopefully you all enjoyed the experience of having a preview show and a post-fight show, all quarterbacked by Goz. And, you know, shout out to Fada Hanoun and John Morgan as well. All right. Eagle FC, they got fights tomorrow night. It's Friday. And if you go to eaglefc.com, there's links there for FLX Cast. They call it F as in Frank, L as in Larry, X as in X-ray. It's the FLX Cast. It's on the Go FLX app, and it's free. So if you download it, you get it. You'll be able to watch these fights, including the main event of Tyrone Spong versus Sergey Karatanov. Rashad Evans is back. He's fighting Extreme Couture's Gabriel Checo, Ray Borg versus Cody Gibson. A few others are on the card as well. Fighters were weighing in this morning. I thought out of the corner of my eye, it looked like all fighters were good to go. But we'll see. Well, I mean, if not, I'm pretty sure most of this card will be, you know, good to go.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of excited to see what happens here. I mean, think of some of the names that are involved. I think we could have something here. I mean, it's not going to be to the level of a PFL, a Bellator, or anything like that, but it could pop up kind of like you old school fans might remember this, just the way you felt when a Strikeforce card would pop up every right. now and again. I think this could do something like that.
Well, here's the perfect example, Goz. I'm glad you brought that up in a way. Sergey Karatanov versus Tyrone Spong. That should deliver what you crave, right? Kind of like a KO or a chaos. Vicious ending. I mean, most of us prefer, I think, the stand-up finish, but we'll take the ground finish. We're not against that. But the stand-up finish, I mean, that this one has that written all over it, correct?
Yeah.
Moldovsky and Bader, they've KO'd people as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they're fighting on Bellator. And that one's for an important title. Bellator's heavyweight title, you have to respect that as well. However, would you say that there doesn't appear to be as much of a drop-off when it comes just in terms of the excitement of what you want to see? And it's not an indictment against Bader so much. I just think that Moldovsky's kind of almost come along and kind of like with one of them hoods, you know, like when the cartels, they abduct somebody and they put a hood on them and they sneak them into a safe house or whatever. I feel like Moldovsky's just kind of like they put a hood over him for the past few years and we saw a couple fights. We don't really remember much. And all of a sudden he's on this big stage and you're like, oh shit, I got to go back and look at a few fights and remember what he did and You know what I mean? Whereas Sergey and Spong, I'm not saying they're the most popular fighters, but I just think we're more familiar with them. Like, I dare say that could be more anticipated for some than the other one.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I'm not really hating on the Bellator fight. It's just getting to see, like, anytime you get to see Tyrone Spong, if you ever, like, go through his record of people who he's fought, and even Kayetanov, really, if you look at his record, too, like, I just think it's fun, man. There's certain fights that are just fun, and I think this one's fun.
Yeah. Now, if you toss in the return of Rashad Evans, and I know he's not going to look like the old Rashad Evans, but he's still Rashad Evans. You know, like, we got to know him, cover him. You just feel like you know something about the guy that's entering that cage or ring, and that's what kind of, like, makes you interested. So now he's fighting Gabriel Checo, which we've seen before as well. We know him through Extreme Couture. I've seen him at LFA. But I want to ask you this. Are you more interested in Rashad Evans versus Gabriel Checo or the co-main event of Benson Henderson against Islam Mamedov?
Man, that's a tough one. No disrespect to Gabriel Checo, but I would be tuning in just because I'd be psyched to see Rashad Evans again.
He carries weight.
He carries weight. Benson Henderson infuriates me at times because I don't feel like we get the best version of him. So, yeah, I think I would lean Rashad and Checo.
Scott Coker needs to hear this, and I hope he doesn't think we're assholes. But he needs to hear this so that he then huddles up with his team and goes, that can't be. We're the second biggest promotion in the world. We pay good money. We have good fighters. But why are these guys even entertaining it is the thing. Even if we both said, ooh, Moldovsky and Bader by a hair, Mamedov and Henderson by a nose. You know, photo finishes on both. But, yeah, I'd rather watch Bellator. He should still go, why are these guys considering that? Why haven't we made them feel that way about our matchups the way they kind of feel about these matchups? And if anything, should we have reached out to Rashad when we found out there was some sort of interest, you know, and bring him in for a fight? You know, you see what I'm saying? Like, there should be distances between these promotions when it comes to these types of things, these types of events.
Honestly, I think what really hurts Bellator the most is, like, even PFL. When something happens in PFL, you have the next week, they're right back, they're doing it again. Sometimes there's these little breaks with Bellator where you almost forget, like, okay, where is this guy in the pecking order again? Or it just feels like everybody is one fight away from a title or something. You know what I mean? And I don't know how they would fix that.
Me neither.
But that's just kind of, I think, what makes things odd.
PFL, that little format they have where they start in April and end in October, and they hit you 3 weeks at a time, they do a good job of kind of like reeling you in and making you go, okay, this guy needs a certain amount of points or he's out of the playoffs. Or these two are fighting, the winner gets in the playoffs. Or this guy better lose, but not before this round, you know what I mean? Or this gal. Like, they have something interesting there that doesn't take up too much of your time, but it allows you to kind of follow them a little bit closer when it matters. And then they stay out of your life the rest of the time.
Right.
Same thing with ONE Champion. I would say ONE Championship, the same thing fits that I'm talking about Bellator. If you tap me on the shoulder and go, ONE's having, oh, really? Well, who? I'm just hoping you say DJ, Eddie, maybe one of the Lees, you know what I mean? And if not, I might go, just tape it, and I might get to it or whatever. You have to have these names, at least for me. Now, obviously, they say they have their audience in Asia, but going back to Bellator, I really would like Bellator to figure out a way and how they can make us more interested. I'll do one more just to prove my point. Aiden Lee versus Henry Corrales or Cody Gibson versus Ray Borg?
I'll give Bellator that one. I am kind of excited to see Ray Borg back, but I like Aiden Lee, and Corrales just always comes to bang. So I think that'll be a fun fight. I'll give him that one.
I'm on Borg and Gibson.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I do want to specify, I'm interested in all of them. And even the ones that I favor over the other ones, it's not like I dislike the other ones. It's just, again, I was thinking Eagle FC might steal the show this week with no UFC in the way. And obviously, everybody's going up against football. But Eagle FC has a chance to steal some Bellator shine.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is the first card Bellator's done in 2 months, goes. I think they could have given us one more juicy fight, don't you?
Yeah, Eagle FC has the opportunity to make a little bit of a splash here. The way they've designed their fights, I think it can be a lot of fun, dude. I mean, God, that's got to like burn if you're a Bellator because of how much time and effort you put into your yes. business that somebody could just pop up and do something like that. But that's kind of how it is, man. It kind of sucks. You know, like BKFC from time to time can do that too. They'll have certain matchups where I'm like, ooh, I kind of want to see that.
Yes.
So it's tough, man. Like you really have to keep things fresh over there. And I know that's like, that's hard to say because like Bellator does do cool things, you know, with these Grand Prix and all that, but
yeah,
they just have to, they do a good job of throwing the hook in the water, but they don't always reel you in. It's the weird thing.
I think they're trying to do too much. I think they should maybe look at a WEC format and just pick a couple divisions and that's it. You know, PFL has no middleweight division. I'd rather them have a bantamweight division and no women's lightweight because I think it's just Kayla and her squad. But Kayla makes it interesting. I guess you tune in almost to see if she could possibly lose. I don't want her to lose, I don't think. I usually don't bet her because she's such a high favorite. But I'd rather see bantamweights before they bring back middleweights if they got rid of women's lightweight. Oh, by the way, I think we have an update on that. Maybe we should start moving on. Danny Segura is out there covering Eagle FC. He had a great conversation with Ali Abdelaziz. Ali Abdelaziz handles a huge roster of clients. And he's saying that PFL is now the favorite to land Kayla Harrison, though he did specify no deal is done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds about right. And I would think this late into the ball game, that's probably what's going to happen.
Yeah. He also said Zabit Magomedsharipov, who, by the way, you know, when we talk about, well, what's next, you know, who could fill in because Max fell off. The reason Zabit hadn't been mentioned is he hadn't fought in over 2 years, but the guy's like 18-1. He's a stud. He beat Cater once, Calvin Cater. Apparently he's been sick. He didn't specify what that was about, but he did anticipate that Zabit could be coming back. So that's good. You always want somebody to overcome whatever illness they have or if it's a return from COVID and get back to competing. But mm-hmm. It did sound like that could maybe happen, and he's going to chat with the UFC about it soon. He also said that he does disagree with Kamaru Usman on one thing. He says him and Izzy should fight each other and just make a huge bag of money. That was a little refreshing. But see, now I think Ali's earned his keep amongst his team that we're not always going to agree, but as long as we say things respectfully, then that's that. You know what I mean? He says his job is to make his fighters money, and he feels like he can make them a lot of money. But I imagine what I'm curious about is how interested is Usman in fighting Whitaker if Whitaker beats Izzy and the UFC doesn't deem that Izzy gets an immediate rematch?
Yeah, dude, I don't know what Kamaru would look like at 185. Some of them guys can get pretty big. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm Kamaru Usman, I just dominate at 170 for a long time. Enough where nobody even goes, you know, GS. Like, when you start to say GS, people just go, shut up. It's all about Usman. I think I would stay there until that happens.
I think he's got 5 title defenses now. And GSP wound up with, I want to say 9 or 10. And Ali and a few others have said Usman's the best welterweight ever. To Usman's credit, he only has 1 loss. GSP lost to who? Sarah and Hughes, and that was it, right?
Yeah.
But he's got 1 more. GSP did win a title in an extra division. Kamaru Usman right now is not willing to do that. Kamaru Usman's career isn't over. It appears Kamaru Usman will have an excellent argument probably at the end of this year, but I'm still not there yet. I'm still on Team GSP. Ali Abdelaziz did say Usman's got more knockouts, but I looked it up, and Usman might have one more knockout goes, but GSP had more finishes because he's got like 8 submissions or something like that. Mm-hmm. What hurt GSP is he had this run of decisions, 50-45s, by the way, maybe some 50-44s. And, you know, for those of us that are fiending for a finish, I guess we probably contributed to old GSP maybe being boring and giving him that label. But I still think it's GSP, but yeah, it's getting closer and closer.
I'm still GSP, but that might even change with the next fight, to be honest. Like, Usman's a pretty dominant force.
I don't want to give away the whole interview. If you go to MMA Junkie right now, you'll see the post there of Ali Abdelaziz talking with Danny Segura. You'll probably see a couple recaps, but you can catch that full interview over at youtube.com/MMA Junkie Video. And that's where you can catch all of the interviews that we do in their entirety, including recent ones like Henry Cejudo, Tyrone Spong, Rashad Evans, Mackenzie Dern, many others. You can find the spinning back clicks there in their entireties. The Legend of Legend series. Go to your YouTube channel. Seriously, subscribe, folks. A lot of stuff comes out of that. We post the post-fight press conferences all the time. A lot of the pre-fight stuff. You'll get a lot of stuff. A lot of people just live on YouTube and don't even look at anything else. A lot of people just live on Twitter and don't look at anything else. But I'm telling you, that YouTube channel is popping, man. Shout out to Ken Hathaway and the boys there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so lastly, Bellator is this week. We finally get a little bit more movement in the heavyweight division, and I'm excited about that. You know, Benson Henderson, he needs a dub, man. He really needs a dub or just to hang it up, I think. Henry Krause versus Aiden Lee should be fun. Aiden Lee was somebody we caught up with recently as well. So check that out. So you got Eagle FC, Bellator this weekend. No UFC. We do have some football. Anything closing from your end that we didn't cover that you maybe want to gloss over?
Fuck. There was one thing.
¿Qué fue?
Buy me like 20 seconds.
All right. I will tell you, Florida blocked Melvin.
I remember. Yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about.
Yeah, I didn't know the guy had lost like 12 straight going into this.
Yeah, man. I mean, for them, they did that, and then they also said, like, you need to kind of look at your roster, which I think probably has something to do with maybe, like, names like Diego Sanchez, right? But, yeah, that's a big deal because Florida's, like, the wild, wild west, man. Like, anything goes there. So for them to put their foot down, that's a very, very big deal. If you follow David Feldman, like, he's always saying – something big is in the works. Something's big in the works. I kind of believe the guy, man. Like, every time he's done that, something big has happened. So I trust in that guy a little bit. And I think they're going to have to shore up a few things here and there. But I think he's got something over there.
Yeah, I agree. He's gotten my interest. I tune into a lot of BKFC unless there's just direct opposition by the UFC or one of my squads is in a big game. Hey, real quick, Francis Ngannou is going to have ACL surgery. I'm really not sure if we covered this on Sunday night, Monday. He'll face a 9-month recovery. So the soonest you'll see him probably is September or October. I'm even thinking probably November, New York. I think that'd be a good place to go with Francis Ngannou. Misha Tate's going to be on Celebrity Big Brother. It debuts February 2nd. Goes. Have you ever seen that? Big Brother series is pretty big. So is this kind of a big deal? Do you keep up with this one?
Yeah, it's a real big deal. This isn't one of the shows that I watch religiously. I've watched a few of them, and they're pretty interesting. You know, if you like that genre of reality TV.
Yeah.
But I think it's a big deal for her to be in there.
Sweet. I hope she does well. And lastly, I did want to say, to be fair, Dana White did say it was a genius game plan for Ngannou to use wrestling, utilize grappling. He did give credit to that, and I thought that's worthy of saying because we don't want to just completely shit on one side. We always try and bring you everything that we hear and react to it and be fair, and I think we have been. So that's that. that's our show for today, folks. No interview today. You know, we think we've been kind of hot on that a little bit, but it doesn't allow us to kind of spread our wings and chime in on some of these smaller stories. And that's what we did today. So we'll see you all on Sunday night for Monday delivery. I'm sure there'll be a lot to talk about after Eagle FC. Bellator as well is back. Bellator, what is it? I need to just get it right. Bellator 273. There you go. And, of course, the conference championships in the NFL. All right, we're out of here. Go out there and be a champion.